Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody. the phone wanted to screw up, so I had to redial. Now, here's the deal. There's a thing called Imprimis, and it's from Hillsdale College, and I suggest anybody with $35 or that has an extra $35 for somebody else, send in your donation as membership, and you get the Imprimis. And this one, it just says, the Twitter files reveal an existential threat. Yeah. We are under attack, basically. And some of the things that have been going on, as you've seen, ain't exactly cool. Then again, to go along with it, Biden's been stepping in it. He should have brown spots all the way up to his eyebrows. Anyway, DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Ooh. and he calls this Biden's DEI debacle. And I just put another up there, and that just says what it is. DEI is racial essentialism, as racist as if less violent than when Democrats founded the Ku Klux Klan, and it crosses on people's lawns. Lit crosses? My. Nasty, nasty. It goes on and on. The only way to handle DEI is to fire everyone who spreads it. Now, remember that. Biden may think he's doing something clever by giving jobs to enforcers of political correctness. Now, I'm going to end it there. Just that simple. then you got the next article. This is a Washington Examiner for February 28th, which is kind of old, but relevant. DeSantis drives Democrats crazy on school libraries. And I wrote good in great big red letters. And the new Florida law does not prescribe criminal penalties if schools have appropriate books. It simply says inappropriate materials should not be in school libraries. Ooh. And there was a freak out over that. DeSantis has successfully removed odious critical race theorists and left-wing indoctrination from K through 12 schools. He's also challenging leftist hegemony over Florida's colleges and universities. This will work because parents, even Democratic parents, love their children more than they love left-wing ideology. Ooh. I see change is coming. I think I had a show about that. Then you got Hugo Gurdon, a letter from the editor. Ron DeSantis, presidential calculus. Well, what you've got is nobody knows when he's going to get into the race, but when he does, it ought to make a big thud. Okay, let's say your land. This is another division. It's enough to make a self-satisfied, self-mortifier curse there that our secular society does not believe in penitence, solemnity, or sin. Woo. Yeah, it goes right into it. Hits critical race theory right off the top. Talks about gaslit ideologies and a few other things. Dahl, D-A-H-L. Rolled Dahl's censors are bald beneath their wigs. They want to change things like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and change fat to enormous and all that sort of thing. You got to have the right pronoun, or you're wrong. Ooh. And then you've got the title of an article, and I didn't mark it, and I ain't going to read it. Fathers produce leaders of men. Yeah, a true father will definitely put their kids in such a position as to be leaders. Bird flu outbreak spurs fears it could fuel next pandemic. Oh, now we're going. Now we get to have not just regular old flu, but we get to have birdie flu. Now I wonder if it makes feathers come out of our whatevers, or you know how that works. But there it is anyway. Ukrainian teenager seeks refuge from California schools. Now, I haven't jumped on it very many things, but I'm sorry, California sucks canal water. Air raid sirens and the threat of Russian missiles may not create the best environment for schooling, but apparently it's better than going to public school in San Francisco. Think about that very carefully. 13-year-old Ukrainian refugee found herself in San Francisco public schools, and the experience left her wanting to go back to Ukraine. War zone and all. Now, think about that. She discovered that students jumping on desks, cursing out teachers, interrupting classes, were regular activities at the San Francisco middle school she was enrolled in. Students, even if they were repeat offenders, were not punished for these outbursts. Well, there's a couple of schools that have attended to this thing, and their programs work. These bullies turned their targets on their new Ukrainian classmate, threatening her to the point that she has since dropped out of school because the district refused to allow her to transfer. Well, you stupid mother, you. Only a San Francisco classroom could make a student miss going to school in an actual war zone. Think about that. School officials don't want to discipline troublemakers, at least in places such as San Francisco, because they apply the same standards that progressive district attorneys do to criminals. You turn them loose, let them do what they want, etc. It appears that San Francisco has focused more on coddling troublemakers than on creating an environment where children can actually learn and grow. My, my, my. Hey, San Fran. You suck canal water worse than your state. If your schools are scarier and more dysfunctional to children than schools that are under the threat of being bombed by Russians, perhaps it's time to reevaluate your school priorities. The share of Russian army. A share of the Russian army estimated to be in Ukraine, according to UK Defense Secretary, 97%. The shark comes for the pharmaceutical industry. Assessing Mark Cuban's online pharmacy a year on. Yeah, he started something and he's working on it. A Florida man of their own. Blue state governors are competing to be their, be the heir apparent to their party, own party's leadership, in my mind. And what is, what do people do about it? Well, Democrats have a love-hate relationship with DeSantis. They can't help wishing they had someone on their side who'd smite their foes and implement their agenda with the same relentlessness and relish. What they want, in other words, is a blue state DeSantis. Not happening. Too many people have put up with that for too long and too many other places. So, you know, it seems to work. Ooh, California is launching an ideal, is the ideal launching pad for the progressive counteroffensive, and not just because Newsom has transformed the Golden State into a sanctuary state for abortion and transgender rights. Rather, it is perfect because it embodies so very much of what conservatives revile. Yuck. That man needs to be tossed in one of his reservoirs. Now, a country of middlemen, e-commerce, intermediaries, and the depressing drive to financialize everything we do. That's something that's going on. Why the West Bank's in chaos. I mean, they cover a bunch of things in this magazine, but I'm just hitting the high spots. Oh, boy, the cold hard truth. Ukraine could lose to Putin if it can't win this year. Well, that's not exactly true because they don't know, and predicting the future is very difficult. There is no and should not be any alternative but to completely get rid of Russian aggression, to liberate the land, to liberate people, because every city, town, and village that remains under occupation means people staying in captivity, better known as being enslaved. Black people out there know about that. For Ukraine to win, Zelensky has come to believe, it must expel Russian force from every inch of its territory, including the Crimea Peninsula, which Putin illegally annexed in 2014, and then secure membership in NATO. Or, if that's not possible, join an alliance of willing Western countries to ensure a humiliated Putin doesn't try again. Russia's close to being broke, everybody. That's why he went begging to China. And what you got to understand is that Putin right now appears ready to sacrifice, half a million people, 750,000 soldiers, and appears right now to be able to do that and determined to do so. Well, the only problem is that when the Russians find out about it, they leave the country. Yeah, you heard me. They disappear. They go on. I mean, this is a leftist magazine. You got to understand. Washington Examiner gets some leftist columnists in there, and this is one of them. Ukraine cannot take the kind of losses that it would suffer to confront those numbers of Russian troops. Well, if you had that number of Russian troops, you wouldn't be waiting. You'd have marching. They can't afford battlefield failure. Russia can afford many battlefield casualties and failure as long as Putin believes he can ultimately succeed. And the only problem is he can't. And the reason he can't, the people don't want it. The people who are in charge of the money don't want it and all that. So, in Putin, Ukraine faces an implacable foe who has boxed himself in and has bet everything, including possibly his very life, on eking out something he can sell as a victory. That's where he's at. He's at the point of desperation. History teaches us that wars of independence only end one way. And with the United States on that side, I've got absolutely no doubt at all that the Ukrainians are going to win. Bear that in mind. we've invested a lot. Now, when it comes to rebuilding Ukraine, other countries, not the U.S., other countries are going to have to step up and fill the shoes. Oh, boy, Russian hackers aren't done with Ukraine. Ooh, using a thing called Sandworm, Russian advancement in its war with Ukraine, often stalled, the country has frequently turned to cyber attacks to cause mayhem for the defenders. Yeah, screw up enough things, and people have a tendency to give up, surrender, whatever you want to call it. GOP candidate quality questions return of in top-tier Montana Senate race. Whoopee. GOP gets an interpreter, and Biden gets a challenger. Criticism of ESG investing has become an increasingly popular issue for Republican candidates and all of the people who donate to either of the parties. Ramaswamy describes wokeism as a secular religion reflecting a deeper need for human purpose at a moment when the time-tested satisfiers of that purpose, including family, faith, and national identity, have receded. Ooh. Staunch critic of ESG investing, environmental, social, and governance factors. Uh-huh. He's got a lot that'll put things out in front, both social media, et cetera. Biden is running for re-election, isn't he? Multiple polls have shown that rank-and-file Democrats do not want Biden to run. But you can't hear that. The Supreme Court case that could fundamentally change the Internet. A pair of cases addresses possible limits of the protection social media platforms have from liability. Gonzalez versus Google, heard by the justices on February 21st, asked the highest court in America to determine if the longtime Internet liability shield known as Section 230 includes content that the platform's algorithms recommend to users and about how they present those recommendations. You either comply or you're off the thing. The Islamic State later took responsibility for the acts, but Gonzalez's family sued multiple tech platforms, accusing them of radicalizing users into terrorists by promoting pro-ISIS third-party content. That basically says that they don't have any sort of morality when it comes to things that are posted. You say, ooh, no shots. You're full of whatever. And they'll take you down. But if you're talking about getting ISIS into the fray, bring your AK-47 and let's go visit. It's just fine. Google's YouTube video sharing platform is the only defendant that remains, and that's the case the Supreme Court heard oral arguments on. There's a similar suit, Twitter versus Tamanch, and I hope I pronounced that right. I may not have, which was heard the next day. Both cases address the possible limits of the protection social media platforms have from liability under Section 230 of the 1996 Telecommunications Decency Act. You guys are indecent in offering beheadings and things of that nature anyway. So here we go with Section 230. Clarified liability for online sites hosting a third-party content at any time when there was uncertainty about their legal responsibility. Well, it's beginning to be addressed. Legal precedent dealt with traditional publishers, including newspapers and distributors such as bookstores. Guess what? They're about to be made publishers. Ooh, ooh. CompuServe's chat board did not moderate posts at all. And because of the precedent and liability law, they're therefore not legally responsible for the content it hosted. Want to bet? They're coming for you. Prodigy wanted to take down potentially offensive posts from its users in order to make a family-friendly online environment, but it worried that doing so would trigger legal liabilities. Believe me, that's much more expensive than just letting it run. Now, moderating content seemed to be an admission that they knew what they were hosting. Think about that. That's true of all of these guys. Moderating content seemed to be an admission that they knew what they were hosting. They do know what they're hosting. Ever seen a fact checker jump up on Facebook or wherever? In practice, Section 230 means that host sites cannot be sued for content posted by their users, and that taking down any of the content will not trigger liability for the platform. Legal responsibility stays with the creator of the content, not the online host. Guess what? That's being changed. They got a dozen bills coming through from the our so-called representatives that stipulate that. The same issues are at play, but they now apply to small sites and social media platforms with billions of users. More than 500 hours of third-party content is posted on YouTube every minute. That's 720,000 hours per day. Ooh. Anyway. Several justices expressed concern about the resulting economic upset if the court were to rule in favor of curtailing Section 230's liability shield and exposing online platforms to increased litigation. Well, you're about to get litigated out of existence. They're expected to rule on both those cases in June. And there's a guy by the name of Adams. It's called media malpractice. Non-apologies and delusions. Ooh. CNN host Don Lemon, 56, recently made an ass of himself when he accused former Republican South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, 51, of being past her prime. And you know where all that went. Running around the rosy. Now, I have posted and reposted a list of people who didn't like the idea that they were being out, that everybody was being outed. And when I mean outed, I mean those who said, oh, you shouldn't put those things up, Tucker Carlson. That's terrible. Mm-hmm. Well, rail investors could be in for a short-term PR disaster and a long-term trend of increased safety. They got funding in that, a lot of it, billions. Now, Stephen Moore is a financial whiz, knows what's going on, does things according to how they should be done and by whom. Scholars rank biggest spending presidents as the greatest. Think about that. Results tell us much more about the electorate political leanings of historians than it does about the presidential performance. Well, this is a farcical popularity contest that the Siena College Research Institute conducts every few years. The result tells us much more about left-leaning leanings of the historians than it does about presidential performance. I just read that. That was the outtake. FDR. They got a bunch of them in here. These presidents were champions of liberty. Recognized government growth as the greatest path to tyranny. Trump, a president I worked for, and he did, and I think Trump did a good job. He was a little feisty, but other than that, he did fine. Should be in the near great category. But he's biased, he says. Vanilla Factory by Roald Dahl. Told you about him. He's been screwed over by the leftist community by rewriting his books and other things that they like to do. And I think that's the end of this magazine, if I can get the friggin' pages to cooperate. But then again, maybe not. You never know. Now, Hugo Gurdon is the editor-in-chief of Washington, of this magazine, Washington Examiner. And this is from February 28th this year. Thelma Democrats and Louise Republicans careen toward the abyss. Physical abyss. Now, I normally award 3 stars to a lot of people. He got 4 on this one and is in contention for 5. I haven't ever awarded 5, but this is very close. Now, one of the things we got going on is that the Democrats want to spend money we don't got, so they got to borrow it, and it increases the debt, et cetera. And you know how that goes. You've heard that on mainstream media, if you pay any attention to it. The Democratic Republican parties are Thelma and Louise hurtling toward their cliff. They are accelerating toward disaster, but the roof is down on their convertible and they're feeling fine in the sunshine. Think about that. Nobody's held them to account. And believe me, this is pretty interesting, but individual representatives of our of the people to the government for us are also capable of being held liable for what they do. It's been like watching the parties point fingers and trade denials ever since President Joe Biden's State of the Union address to Congress on February 7th. The president accused Republicans of planning to cut Social Security and Medicare. That's not their policy, although some, says Senator Rick Scott, Republican Florida, have been clumsy enough to be plausibly colored that way. Yeah. When Republicans shouted Biden down as a liar, Speaker Kevin McCarthy, Republican California, had said just the day before that the GOP wouldn't touch either program. The president closed the trap, saying, "We all apparently agree. Social Security and Medicare is off the books for now. Neither party will hit the brakes." Remember now, you got to remember Thelma and Louise. Democrats, both are being dishonest. Democrats pretend to believe they can spend as much as they want, the more the better, without unpleasant consequences. Republicans fearing voters will punish any hint of doing the right thing, hush up those among them who sound the alarm. What's the alarm? Well, first of all, that you're cowards. That's right, fair weather soldiers. You ain't done diddly squat. None of you. And I'm just as tired of it and also disappointed in some of the people that came up on the list, which I posted on Facebook. Tucker Carlson brought it out on Fox News. Unreformed Social Security and Medicare payments are unsustainable. Now think about this. We can't afford them. Each party knows it, and knows the other side knows it. They're playing chicken, and neither is brave enough to avert the calamity. In other words, hit the brakes, stop it from going over the edge. Social Security and Medicare vacuum up more than half of the federal revenues. That's right now. cost double by 2023. just 10 years from now. It's hospital funds run out even sooner in just 5 years. 4 years later in 2032, Social Security will collapse. I want everybody to, you know, bear this in mind. They've been playing games with us for years, generations. A few fiscal hawkish members of the public are staring wide-eyed through the windscreen at the approaching precipice, the cliff that Thelma and Louise are headed toward. But they're a small minority, and the government has to pay. Well, no, it doesn't, actually. Whatever the merits of the moral argument, doesn't amount to a legal case. The parties are monstrously guilty of fostering the fiction. These payments are untouchable entitlements, but the Supreme Court ruled long ago that in Fleming versus Nestor in 1960 that the taxes we pay do not impose future obligations on Washington, meaning they ain't got to do diddly squat they don't feel like they want to do. Polls can renege on the deal whenever they want. They just quit. They don't send the check. They don't auto-deposits money. They're going to have to, either by choice or because the money will just run out. Most Americans are deluding themselves, or rather they are the willing dupes of politicians who promise jam today and jam tomorrow, despite knowing the pot is nearly empty. What do you do with that? You hold the people that are doing it responsible. The idea of willing dupes changes the moral argument. Responsibility in democratic government cuts both ways. Ooh. Same logic means voters must accept blame for the scoundrels to whom they have given, they give power. The people we elect are the people that are the fair-weather soldiers that aren't doing the job. Politicians are sensitive creatures and respond readily to incentives. If we keep electing them for telling us sugar-coated falsehood, that's what they'll keep telling us. Ain't that neat? Here's Byron York. The House tries to save D.C. Democrats from themselves. The idea was to create a new seat of government that was not in any state, not beholden to any state, and not subject to the control of any state. That's why you've got the District of Columbia. So the Constitution created the district and gave Congress not any local government control over it. Article 1 gave Congress the power to exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district as may become the seat of the government of the United States. From the day of the Constitution's ratification, Congress has had total control over the District of Columbia, and it still does. Woo! Since the Constitution gave Congress exclusive control over the district, one way lawmakers could exercise that power was by giving some control to the city itself. Woo! So they gave a little bit to the city. The victory was won in 1973 when Congress passed and President Richard Nixon signed the District of Columbia Home Rule Act. That did not change the Constitution. Bear that in mind. We the people and our illustrious fair-weather soldiers are still in charge. Congress still had the right to intervene in the city's affairs, and one of the ways lawmakers made that clear in the text of the Home Rule Act was requiring that the Council of the District of Columbia submit all newly passed legislation to Congress for review. After a bill is submitted to Congress, does nothing, the new legislation becomes law. But Congress expresses its disapproval, the legislation died. Now let's fast forward to today. D.C. Council is as woke as others in deeply blue states. Ooh. Only one more step. Send a bill to Congress. Ooh. The GOP now controls the House of Representatives, and the Republican leadership of the House decided it would be appropriate to express disapproval of the measure. That means it's dead in the water. It can't lighten up the legalities involved in law enforcement. And that's true of judges as well. let's see. The Republican Republicans represent 219 in all, voted unanimously to stop the bill. 31 Democrats joined the Republicans in voting against the D.C. Council's action. The other one, and then they got another 173 who voted against it, of course. Something just as remarkable happened. Bowser, that's the D.C. mayor, did not complain. Normally, a Washington mayor would go into a full battle mode against those bad Republicans in Congress. But Bowser, who still opposes what the D.C. Council did, chose not to attack GOP lawmakers who were, in this case, on her side. Now, think about it. This is just some of the wranglings. It's not near all of what goes on, believe me. The House cannot stop D.C. Council legislation by itself. Resolution stopping the bill has to go to the Senate, and then, if it passes there, to the President for signature. Well, it ain't going to pass. Sorry. Biden has said he's against it. Here we go. Hanahan. And Hannon is a member of the House of Lords, and he knows pretty much what's going on. 1 year into the war, Russian defeat is the only way out, and we can defeat them easily. So that's next. Give credit, Barone. Give credit to Jimmy Carter. I don't think so. Then you get low. The Trump that Republicans were waiting for just showed up in East Palestine. Donald Trump's third bid to run free world has been, to borrow a phrase, rather low energy. Like most of his post-2020 activities, Trump's campaign has been limited to executing vendettas on Truth Social and publishing 60-second clips of himself sharing policy proposals and favorable articles about his run. Well, did you notice he beat everybody there by quite a bit in terms of getting to the disaster area? It's not. This stuff that I do isn't easy. I got about 6-8 magazines I go through on a week, semi-weekly basis. Weekly or semi-weekly basis, monthly, and it's a lot of reading. DEI is poisoning college campuses. That's diversity, equity, inclusion. And you got a guy in Florida that's jumping on this, and DeSantis will win this. Why? Because the stated purpose of these programs is to make people feel more included. But what happens if those programs are doing precisely the opposite? That's where the problem is. And Texas A&M is taking it on. And so is DeSantis. Even Democratic presidents need congressional approval for the new programs. Think about that. Congress, the direct representatives of the people, have to okay it or it don't fly. Oh, boy. The Democrats, phantom Senate majority. Republicans are passing legislation, which hasn't happened since 2020. Yeah, they're getting it. They're doing something. Republican legislation is passing rather because McCarthy is holding his once fractious conference together. He only has 5 votes to spare, and because Democrats have lost their Senate majority. That's the reason. Members of the Blue Party are ailing and incapable of doing their jobs. Senator Dianne Feinstein has been out for a week with age-related health problems. Senator Fetterman is being treated for depression. Who? There are grounds to suspect he'll never recover sufficiently to do the job. Now, think about that very carefully. If they keep him knocked out, they're tied even, and if they lose one more, they're done. Can't corral them. Senator Joe Manchin, Democratic West Virginia, and John Tester, Democrat in Montana, rejoined Republicans 50-46 to cancel egregious rules that force retirement fund managers to consider environmental and social issues when making investment decisions. Horse hockey. And that's what they said. Biden wouldn't have this problem if Democrats were less inclined to prop up tottering candidates for jobs they are clearly incapable of doing. Makes stark the priority Democrats give to winning elections rather than governing effectively. Biden himself, prime example of a politician who has years in, or decades past his sell-by date when elected. Think about that. The Democrats' last best hope briefly throwing up smokescreen of centrism and, in the fog of the election war, defeating the insurgency of Socialist Senator Bernie Sanders. Well, he's going to keep a distance anyway. Bernie Sanders ain't diddly squat. He ain't never managed to be anything decent. So, where does that leave us? Ah, come here, Paige. We got your land. No ignition. Why ain't the kids driving? Well, a license meant freedom, and that might just be the problem. They don't want to be free. They want to keep that whatever they're getting coming in. You got to have a few bucks for pizza and beer. Millennials started this trend toward late driving, just as they started the broader trend toward late adulthood. They are later to marry, later to have children, and later to buy homes. Then you got this. The mystified parents are to blame here. Yeah, that's right, Mom, Dad. So many parents I know are obsessed with keeping kids safe at all costs. One parent told the Washington Post, but if you never let your children run wild as 10-year-olds or ride their bikes freely as 12-year-olds and you force them into mass as 14-year-olds, you can't expect them to develop a sudden appetite for freedom as 16-year-olds. Doesn't work that way. Some get shuttled by their helicopter parents. Some rely on Uber and Lyft. Others just don't go out that much. He spends a lot of time playing video games, one mother said. That's where his community is. So he doesn't really need to go anywhere to hang out with people. Bingo. Very simple. When politicians forget who they work for, who do they work for? Their pocket. You know, they're holding up two bills that would protect parental rights in the classroom and give families the financial freedom to leave an educational environment that no longer meets their needs or fits their values. Ban classroom instruction on gender identity and sexuality prior to fourth grade. Create an educational savings account program that gives families direct control over how their education tax dollars are spent. I've always fought, regardless of what the real issue is, against taking authority away from local school boards, town councils, and county commissions. Now, Albert Summers, he's a Wyoming Republican, and he's like these other Republicans that believe that you should comply with whatever Washington comes out with. Remember, we got 11 Republicans who say Tucker Carlson's wrong for airing the truth in terms of the social media he's putting out dealing with January 6th. Winning. Ukraine's winning. Russia. And the fog of war. How the contours of the fighting so far might shape its future. Western officials estimate 1,000 Russian soldiers are dying every day in a futile assault on the southeastern city of Volodar. But the Kremlin has at least solved its manpower problem for the near future. Oh, no, it ain't. Your people are leaving your country, telling you to screw off. The truth, there isn't any, about Biden's Ukraine policy. There isn't any. Oh, boy. And it don't get better, as you can see, and as you know, it's worse than it's been, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. Planes, trains, and the dangers of complacency. What Biden and Buttigieg tell us about the government's failures? They don't tell us a diddly squat. Supreme skepticism. High Court justices seem disinclined to validate President Joe Biden's student loan forgiveness plan. And there's a reason for that. It's illegal to try to go around Congress, however you might structure the thing. So, you know, you want to cancel student debt? We cancel it all. You allow people that couldn't go to college because they didn't have money to go, and you pay for it. Yeah. It ain't difficult once you get the thing all wrapped up in a nice little bundle, and it ain't just my opinion either. You know, took 15 rounds of ballots on the House floor and 3.5 days for McCarthy to secure the speakership. Uh-huh. I understand that. beg and plead with their own members on the committee to vote the party line. Segregationist Democratic House Rules Committee chairman for years used the committee to bottle up civil rights legislation before the impasse was finally broken. The House Rules Committee has been strictly the domain of the speaker. Think about that. A legislative control freak by nature. Oh, boy, that's Nancy Pelosi. Pelosi. In the House Rules Committee and other realms, ensured spots were given only to her most loyal members. They will go along with whatever she says is right, however wrong it may be. She's out of there now, thank God. This has now changed since McCarthy. While technically appointing all GOP members, was forced to choose lawmakers who would never have previously made it, including those from the House Freedom Caucus. Everybody says, oh, he's screwing himself. Well, not exactly. He's tightening the screws down on you, maybe. Oh, Vallis and Johnson advanced to Chicago's mayoral runoff election. They got rid of bobble-headed Lightfoot. Paul Vallis should be the winner, and the reason he should is because of what he stands for and how he wants to do things, okay? And Lightfoot ought to keep her mouth shut. If planned Ukraine offensive falters, air power advocates will blame Biden for the loss. That's true, and that's how it looks. Then you get the lab leak theory, gets official stamp of approval. Uh-huh. And Fauci funding the thing is as guilty as any of the mass murderers they've ever taken to court. So, you know, then you got Adams, media malpractice. Speaking truth to power, terms and conditions may apply. The news website Semaphore launched in 2022 amid great fanfare, promising to fix the crisis of trust in the news by delivering a unique blend of fearless and insightful journalism. Semaphore announced this week it has partnered with Chinese Communist Party interests, including Communist Front Groups, Dovish, whichever way you want to look at that, business leaders, Dovish business leaders, Chinese government officials, and a group that even describes itself as a chamber of commerce led by the Communist Party of China. Nothing says fix the crisis of trust in the U.S. media quite like an American newsroom joining forces with the Chinese communist-affiliated groups and leaders. The bottom of a statement is a postscript which reads, Semaphore's China and Global Business has been developed in partnership with the Chinese China Center for Globalization. And it's hard to have a good faith disagreement about a major issue if the issue itself has been hijacked by bad faith folks. Oh, well. And then you got the Afghan pullout. That's being checked into. Schlapp, just a fact, Trump is odds-on favorite. To read the liberal media, the Conservative Political Action Conference and Chairman Matt Schlapp are a little too pro-Trump. Oh, my. Press have even claimed that some marquee Republicans skipped the annual event because of the focus on former President Trump. Cowards. Wonder how many of them are part of that group of 11 that went along with Chuck Schumer. Oh, he's a wonderful freedom person. Not to destroy their little BS routine of putting people in jail for on a January 6th tribunal. I think Trump is the odds-on favorite. Trump was an amazing president. Very hard for me to not to think Trump was the greatest president. Well, we'll find all this out. I don't think anybody's the greatest right now. Dwindling Consumer Bureau confidence. Supreme Court ruling against CFPB could create disastrous domino effect. Well, we'll have to wait and see. Here we go with Stephen Moore. America's $100 billion climate change flop. What did it do? Fall over? Carbon dioxide emissions reached a record high in 2022. Communities around the world emitted more carbon dioxide in 2022 in any other year on record, dating to 1900. A result of air travel rebounding from the pandemic and more cities turning to coal as a low-cost source of power. Now, if you double burn coal, just like atomic energy, if you double burn coal, it's almost zero pollutant, and I mean that literally. The same's true of atomic energy. You don't have to play games with radioactive fuel rods, not if you double burn it. And double burn, look it up. I'm not going to explain it all. The IEA, International Energy Association, report was described as disconcerting by climate scientists. Oh, my God. Disconcerting? That's a question. That's putting it lightly. We are the first thing from being climate change alarmists, but when you spend $100 billion on taxpayer money and achieve absolutely nothing, Biden and his green allies should be arrested for criminal fraud. I agree. Where's the warrants? Who's got the guts to go after them? Where did all the money go? That's a good question. Tens of billions of dollars have lined the pockets of left-wing environmental and social justice groups that have been emitting a lot of hot air. Maybe that's part of the pollution. But no results. Green energy companies have milked taxpayers out of tens of billions and more, even as wind and solar only produced about 7% of our energy. Is this the greatest ripoff of U.S. taxpayers in history? Pretty close. Doomsday predictions of global warming. Oh, accurate. We are goners. Nothing the left is doing on climate change is making even the tiniest bit of difference, as the new report shows. What it is doing is giving politicians and activists a chance to virtue signal. Oh, I'm squeaky cleany. I walk on water and all that crap. Obvious flaw in green strategy is that few, if any, of the big polluters are cooperating. Despite the assurances from President Biden, climate change ambassador John Kerry, umpteenth time, the United States is not the problem. China is. Without progress from China, nothing America does to reduce emissions will reverse the global trends. Bear that in mind. China and India and Russia got to quit burning coal. Oh, boy. and yet the rest of the world blames the U.S. We didn't do it. Oh, by the way, and we're killing all of the minority populations as white people by driving around. Ooh, yeah, that was the latest thing. Come on. All we are accomplishing in the Biden war on fossil fuels is kneecapping our own domestic energy industry while the rest of the world continues to consume more fossil fuels than ever before. Instead of the oil and gas production in Texas and North Dakota, it's coming from Russia, Iran, and OPEC. Ooh, energy source growing the fastest is coal. Well, that means that West Virginia ought to take off like gangbusters here shortly. We need more growth and better technology to deal with a changing climate. The leftists want less growth and have been backing degrowth since when is making America poorer the solution to any problem? Hello? Throwing good money after bad? Milton Friedman used to remind us, anytime a government program isn't working, politicians' response is, we aren't spending enough money. Well, if we want to save our country's future for our children, first step is stop adding to our $32 trillion national debt. That means no more spending, even if the Democrats feel like they got to have it. Now, try this. You've heard of electric vehicles. Well, if you approach the average American and told him he'd be trading his F-150 for a bus pass next year, chances are you'd get results ranging from protest voting to small arms fire. And quite honestly, I guarantee you that. Simon Rusty has a whole article in here, and it's a good one. And it covers his refusal, even though they tried to kill him, of rolling over for him. A flailing Marxist history of California capitalist success story. Oh, this is all BS. Harris regards Palo Alto as something it would be fair to describe as fanatical hatred. Whoopity-do. California is a serious problem. They got films like Cocaine Bear, which I wrote no on. At the end of the EV rainbow, you'll probably be riding a bus. And I put down, oh, my God, big exclamation points, and, you know. What's going to give? Titled, Dear Electric Vehicle Owners, You Don't Need That Giant Battery. It ridicules the naivety of the people who think their new EVs can offer the same range and capability as their old gas-powered cars. They can't. It's been proven over and over again. You don't need range, power, size, or capability that matches or exceeds that of traditional cars. You need an EV. If you approach the average American, like I said, you end up with small arms fire, they'll fight you off. And rightly they should. They won't participate in trucker convoys or assaults on your democracy. Oh, they will mostly sit at home and do what they are told to do because they will not have any other choice. Think about that. A seamless transfer of power, and that's electrical otherwise, from the citizens to the bureaucracy. No wonder the members of the latter are charged up about it. Ooh. Mm-hmm. People ain't going for that crap. Tattoo etiquette, none. Truth forgiveness, questionable. Oh, and then you got bomb busters. That's something I used to do, blow up landmines and all that stuff. EOD. Never officially trained, but I knew how to blow shit up, and it worked. Hugo Gurdon has a column in here. about student loan demonstrators should get back to class. Student demonstrators camping outside the Supreme Court this week would be better off taking a constitutional law class. Yeah, you might consider learning how it works. They gathered Monday with placards reading, 40 million families need debt relief and student loan relief is legal. The demonstrators hope to influence justices who on Tuesday started hearing arguments over whether, now remember this is March 7th, they gathered money with all these placards. The demonstrators hope to influence justices who on Tuesday started hearing arguments over whether President Joe Biden may use the COVID emergency, which he has already declared over, to forgive $500 billion to $1 trillion of debt incurred by people who vote for him. Yeah, well, talk about buying votes. He argues that he can transfer this massive liability from voluntary borrowers to taxpayers under the Higher Education Relief Opportunities for Students Act, which Congress passed in 2003. And they did so military men and women would not be burdened with repayment worries while fighting for America in Iraq. It was for the military, not the general public. The use of this law today to forgive student loans is a massive overreach of a sort that federal courts have already repeatedly reversed when attempted by this arrogant administration. Needed legislation. The HEROES Act refers vaguely to emergencies, and this is what Biden's lawyers are hanging their case on. But everyone, including Biden, knows that there is no emergency, that borrowers are not being harmed, and that they are not fighting for their country but for themselves. Ooh, I suspect Biden's flimsy case will be thrown out. And I agree. Then it goes on. I mean, there's nothing in these articles that support any of this ring around a rosy that everybody ought to go in debt to relieve somebody who's got all they need and more because they signed up for student debt, demanding that unelected judges grant $1 trillion loan forgiveness because 40 million families need. It is not the way democracy is done. It don't work that way. How long can the First Amendment survive the new unwritten woke blasphemy laws? I wrote forever, and the reason I did is because when you start telling people that they can't say nothing, you don't get to say anything. Don't care what the subject is. Ooh, that's when the guns come out. Oh, and then you got Green, Dominic Green, and he's the picture they got of him is pretty radical. He's got a shit-eating grin on his face and just won't quit. The Great Books, of course. A one-stop humanities shop was born at Columbia University in 1919. After 68, the banging and whimpering of the cultural war sent enrollments into decades of decline. This week, The New Yorker announced that enrollment in humanities courses at Ivy League College is dribbling to a close. It ain't. A lot of people want to understand that. Hillsdale College, and I mentioned that on Infamous. Hillsdale College is heavy involved, and it's a good reason it should be. Barone, oh, that's the old man. Senior political analyst. Lab leak story, how elite scientists lied and concealed the truth. That's right. They didn't tell you anything that you didn't, you know. Oh, boy. Trump's wheelchair over the cliff attack. Really? Most Trump's attack on DeSantis sound very Democratic, and it should because he's using their playbook. Then you got another problem with this. McGee White, House GOP Parents Bill of Rights, is the first step to a robust family, pro-family agenda. Anybody that's got that in consideration needs to approve it. Vote for it. If you don't, the parents are going to visit and they're going to bring guns. And anybody that wants to play the game of it's my kid, not yours, dies. I'm trying to give you a heads up and a forewarning of what is coming if you don't act the way you should. I'm not saying anybody should go do that. I'm just saying that they will if you guys don't act right. Many of today's cultural battles can be traced back to an underestimation or outright disdain for the family unit and the vital role it plays. Now, you want to get down to the family unit. Back in the 50s, when they first started ramping up the cost of living to a point where you couldn't afford to make it on your own. Yeah, that's us dads. And mom had to go to work. That was in a memo I had. Don't have it anymore. I don't know where it went, what happened to it, who ate it, or whatever. But they said that the only way to gain control of the people was to destroy the family unit. If mom ain't there to take care of the kids, you got problems. Toxic ideology, as critical race theory and gender ideology, for example, have become embedded in the public education system. Well, that means that we need to take that education system down and reinitiate it, because activists, teachers, and administrators believe they have the right and responsibility to impose. Brain, that's a nice diplomatic word for brainwash, their own values on children, regardless of parental beliefs. And that ain't the way it works. So, you know, I hope you guys pay attention to some of the stuff I say on this program. I don't pay for this program out of my pocket, just for the fun of it, thinking that I'm going to get over on somebody by doing this sort of thing. Empty up the pause. And this is by Ellie Mistel. And here's one I got. I'm going to call Ellie Mistel out. Hey, Ellie. Hey, come on. The picture shows you as a fat black woman. Well, I don't care whether you're fat, and I don't care if you're black. Here's where it is. You're brain damaged, and I'll tell you why. You want to destroy everything that I have fought in Vietnam for, among other places, other things to do. So unless you want to bring it on, maybe we should look for solutions. And I noted in red, you ain't done squat to fix it. Empty applause. Many of the congressional congresspeople who clapped for Tyre Nichols' parents didn't do enough to prevent his death. And what'd you do, Ellie, uh-huh? And I'm going to say, so? Many people rose to the joint session of Congress on February 7th to applaud the parents of Tyre Nichols. Did either nothing or not enough to prevent his death? Or you, many of them, will continue doing nothing or not enough, like you. Republicans like Tim Scott actively frustrate attempts to stop the police from murdering black people for sport. And the sport used to be fire a gun in the air when people was picking cotton and see if you could hit the fastest one with the next shot. That year, that was the sport back in the day. That's been changed. Joe Manchin and Kristi Sinema decided that black children should be brutalized and killed to preserve the Senate filibuster. You'll just put anything in your columns that fits your screwed up leftist Marxist narrative. And the donors and corporations that Senate gridlock support. Ooh, how about you first? How about we just see how fast you can run? Most of them have decided that black people should continue to suffer and die at the hands of police because the police are a more valuable political constituency than the people they murder. Horse hockey. That's about as far off as you can get. Most of them have decided that they're willing to sacrifice our blood, your blood, okay, to keep their seats. Most of them would sacrifice 1,000 Tyre Nichols for the endorsement of their local police union. Oh, yeah. That's just like the teachers union. Police union is. Then you got this. Some of them like it. Really? You like seeing dead people laying on the ground bleeding out. Oh, something like to watch us get beat up. Like to watch us beg for our lives. Like to watch us inevitably die. Some of them think we deserve it. Some of them think it's brutality and the threat of brutality that keeps us in line. And some of them know that most of their, get this clearly, white voters like it too. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll bet, Ellie, that you've done less for this country in terms of racial justice and equality, than I have, and I'm a white man. Huh? Get it, Ellie? You're a piece of junk. I don't like her very much, but that's just me. It's naive and foolish to think that police brutality is universally reviled. It's not. It never has been. Police brutality is a tool. Fear is a tool. State-sponsored terrorism is a tool, and those are tools that a bunch of our elected representatives are willing to use against black folks. The problem is it's not just black. Hello, Ellie, wake up and smell the coffee. Here's what it is. Anybody that they feel like they want to use it against, right? Anybody. You? Oh, you happen to be black. Whoopity friggin' do. Any poor person who doesn't have the capability to hit these people hard where they deserve to be hit in such a way that they can't ignore it, that's who gets trampled. Rather not have the police beat black folks to death on camera, that's more than I can say about the last guy to have his job. Oh, you mean Trump had people beaten to death on camera? Oh, really? I hope you got a good lawyer, Ellie, because if Trump decides to put the screws to you, the court's going to do you a number. Stopping agents of the state from killing, almost killing, or threatening to kill any black person unlucky enough to be stopped by the wrong cop on the wrong day is a stretch goal that takes a backseat to bridges, unemployment rates, and bank fees. Whoo, Biden. He's willing to trade black lives for cop support. Really? I hope you got a lot of support for this crap that you put out in this magazine. The President of the United States is not vested with the power to fix the police in America. One of the maddening new effects of the U.S. Constitution is that it explicitly vests the power to organize the police not in the federal government, but in the states. Oh, you mean there might be a difference between California and New York? Constitution's authors, they well understood that southern states wanted to run their slave patrols and slave catches without interference from centralized government. Really, failed to anticipate the unchecked power of state-run paramilitary forces, or correctly concluded that such forces would primarily be used to prop up white supremacy. Oh, my God. At this point, it's irrelevant. A constitutional failure. Police cannot be fully reformed for Washington, D.C. Really? Congress would do but won't. Ending qualified immunity, which protects the police from prosecution, banning brutal attacks like chokeholds and ensuring the cops who kill are held federally accountable. But even those reforms would do little to stop the police from murdering black people. Cops are resourceful in their use of violence. Ooh, yeah, they sneak up on you when you're not looking and do you a number. Except that the police will disproportionately beat and kill black people forever. You got the bring donkey Kamala Harris coming up, her buddy gig. Sorry, your son was murdered by cops, but not all cops murder, so we have to support the cops. Anyway, take a bow for being the victim of a problem our society has no intention of fixing. Ooh. It is a theater that has become grotesque. Ellie Mistel, you can get a hold of me. Blog Talk's got my number. Depends on how brave you are as to whether or not you want to get in touch with me. And then you got Adolf Reed. Boy, oh boy, race and class, class and race. On intersectionality and its discontents. Woo. Watch out there, Jack. There's people living under here. Whoa. It's all racist. Used black 11 times. and it just keeps going. You got Callie Holloway playing the racist game, hitting on white people. Where's the problem? Whitey did it. Oh, good Lord, man. Don't you understand how old that is and how out of date you sound? Want to fix your public health? Stop thinking like a doctor. I agree with that. now certain court has said that it's okay for men to compete in women's sports. Oh, really? Or put the boys on a firing line, making the ocean bleed red. How the race for clean power is poisoning Indonesia's coastal waters. And it covers a whole bunch of things. I mean, there is a bunch of things in there. It shows pictures of the ocean turning red. Oh, boy, here's Bernie Sanders and John Nichols. Oh, we got two of the dinks both together in the same thing. This is from The Nation, 3-6 through 13 this year. Bunch of Marxist socialism. Both of these guys are guilty of it. I wouldn't allow either one of them to run an outhouse for fear there would be a shortage of deposits. Why would you sit in a place where you get bit on the whatevers? Think about it. The decline of unions has cost America, particularly especially the young and people of color. Well, no. Welcome to Jackson. Broken by design. Declining federal funding has left the water system in Jackson, Mississippi at the mercy of conservative state politicians. Sounds like you need to need some changes. Sounds like we need them all over the place. It just goes on and on and on. It don't stop. All this good news, I can hardly stand it. They're sick and tired of being forced to drink and bathe and wash in nasty water. Sent a letter to the university and the rector told me not to publish that water pollution was over the limit. And it continues. They don't stop with just one form of discrimination of a sort. They do all of them. And then you got books in the arts. And it shows a group of kids and adults on a doorstep holding a fist in the air, the unfulfilled promise. Three reconstructions. Well, it not only has not happened, but it's not going to. And I find out as I read on that whoever did all this, and I don't know that you can say that Joseph is responsible for it, but they didn't do their homework. How would I know? Well, Ellie, how about this? Dr. Martin Luther King, ever hear of him? He's a family friend. You don't like it? Tough. What did it become of literary studies? It's all turned electronic, that's what. And it's not going to get better until somebody decides it's time to make it get worse. There's a whole lot of things in here that not only don't make sense, but show that the problem of level is not going away. Do you want to get back to peace over there in Ukraine? Tell Russia to go home. Pretty simple. It's not complicated. The week, March 10th. Oh, boy. Editor's letter by William Falk. The second year fighting for its survival, Ukraine says it urgently needs advanced fighter jets and long-range missiles to repel Russia's invaders from its soil. And he does. It's not bull. It comes from people that I know and respect. 190-mile range. And, you know, we're retiring a bunch of fighter jets that we could send over there in good repair, you know, and then supply parts to that could turn that war. The problem is that the United States gives Ukraine enough to push Russia back, but not enough to win. That's the problem. And it continues. It keeps on going. Justice is skeptical about Biden's debt relief plan. Only Congress can do that. See, everybody picks up on this. Using the HEROES Act, or trying to. the Constitution will make this an easy case. The Constitution gives Congress sole power over federal spending, you know, and waiving student debt amounts to handing out $400 billion by executive fiat. No. Biden limits asylum seekers at the border. Finally. What are you letting, two-thirds in? Anyway, this stuff keeps going, and it does not get any better. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot was decisively rejected by voters in her bid for second term. She only got 17%. Everybody's had enough crime. I want somebody to stomp it out. If you got to stomp on a crook to do that, so be it. The prosecutors that don't prosecute, you can expect to be stomped on. Now, here's the thing. Everybody should get a gun for self-defense. I don't care what it is. 12-gauge is one of the least expensive, most commonly available weapons that you could use. Get some that handles 6 rounds. You also want to get ammunition. Now, be sure that it will fire deer slugs. You want to get ammunition that can stop somebody wearing body armor. Deer slugs do. So it goes on and on. Poisoner targets girls' education. Now, what does it take? I mean, you got to kill these people? Oh, boy. And here we go. Russia's shadow army is the Wagner Group. We should target the Wagner Group and eliminate it. If you got to kill the people that are in it, so be it. It's war, remember? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Mexico, the president takes fair elections. The thing that I see and have been seeing and hearing from my sources, is pretty heavy. Well, I tell you, now you're going to have people that get a premium. Facebook and Instagram are becoming pay-to-play in the Wall Street Journal. Social media platforms, parent company Meta, last week announced a new paid user tier, Meta Verified. Beta testing in Australia and New Zealand. The feature will soon roll out worldwide at $11.99 a month. For that fee, Facebook and Instagram users are promised identity protection, greater visibility in search comments, and recommendations, which implies that the company is aiming its new product specifically at influencers and business accounts. Given that Twitter relaunched its own paid tier, Twitter Blue, 3 months ago at $8 a month, Meta looks to be once again lip syncing a smaller rival. And it just goes on and on and on. They're not the subscription fee to get on the internet. That doesn't matter. You're going to pay us another $6, $8, $10, $12 a month to enjoy to be able to use it. That's what it's about. Money, 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 money. The problems we have are things that can be fixed by a variety of methods. And if you actually look at these methods and really understand what they are saying to you as to how things like this work, then you understand. Now, I want you to the news at a glance. Business, the business section. Profits. Companies binge on stock buybacks. Why do you think Biden wants 4%? Value of houses dropped. Nobody's buying houses at the rate that they're asking for them. Dollar stores accounted for more than a third of the stores that opened across the U.S. in 2021 and 22. Dollar General opened the most and now has a total of 19,000. So that's more than twice as many as Walmart and Target combined. Think about it. People want to get back to what they had. They don't want to continue increasing everything to the point that nobody can do anything with it. Microchips, billions in subsidies with strings attached. $52 billion CHIPS Act with an aggressive set of rules that seek to bend the behavior of corporate America. Ooh. Which direction are you going to bend them over? You going to make them into a prison bitch? Is that the ideology? It sounds like it. National nightmare red tape. Well, there's a lot of people that are not going to put up with certain things. And those certain things can be nasty. The fun and games of which are contained in some of the things I've found. You've got to, have I been pwned? Have I been PWNED? And it's .com after that. You can find out whether or not you've been screwed with. It could be pretty interesting to see what kind of a brick wall is coming up. Well, the brick wall is simple. It entails the financial or physical limitations we're facing. I said this years ago, you can't keep borrowing money. Eventually, at one point or another, the places you get that money from are going to say, no. Then what do? Right at the point where you need it, you don't get it. Ooh-wee. You're not going to find anything worse than fair weather soldiers as representatives of the people. Yet we're loaded with it. People I trusted were part of that group of 11, the Carlson Outline. That's on Facebook if you want to look it up. And you can't, in good conscience, look at that and ignore it. Doesn't work that way. You have to understand that when somebody says that there's limitations, I'm not kidding. This ain't a play game. This is the reality of it. And the reality is that we don't have that much time. Now, I am in a position where I would give back some of the so-called entitlements that I've been given. But I would not just give them a blank check, tell them to, you know, run with it. I would tell them, you have certain constraints and limitations as well. It's like the coming attraction that you're going to see in the skies. You'll love this. They've got two ships, each one about half the size of California, headed our way at high speed. Now, what's funny about that is that E.T., these are the good guys, are coming to help us out and protect us and a few other things. But when those ships become visible, whether it's one of our whoopity-doo float around telescopes or whatever, doesn't matter. What matters is that when these ships become visible, that's going to change a whole bunch of shit. Now, as I've stated before, I work with E.T. On different things. And we are looking at having things in an order that can't be ignored. Now, those people that think they know what's going on haven't got a clue about most of the stuff. However, you might get ready. You need a gun. You need food. You need water or a supply of water. And you need a place that's away from large population centers, because it ain't going to be safe. There's going to be a lot of people that didn't make any preparation at all, and they're going to want to take your food, and they will take your life to get to it. Think about that. Don't that sound wonderful? Oh, yeah. Anyway, so what we have to do is we have to put ourselves in a position to handle it. So get yourself ready to play an end game that isn't going to be nice. And so what you're going to end up with is a lot of food for the rats if you don't use your head, play the game correctly. You lose. You don't want to lose, believe me. But you need to be aware as to what is really going on. And that is iffy at best. Between now and then, make this show go viral. check the Facebook page and get your own copy of that list of 11 who decided to do something else. We all go from there. In the meantime, go out there and do me a favor. Get her done.